Welcome back to another episode of Simply Unprofessional. I'm your host, Webby. Joining me tonight, we got Devin.
Hey, everybody. I'm Devin. I'm here. How are you all doing this evening?
And we got an Apple that popped in.
Hi.
And we might have a Rob that pops in. I did check on him a little while ago, but he was on a call with somebody and I didn't want to interrupt him. Yeah, that is a good question for everybody out there. First, how are you guys doing? I hope you're doing well. The first part of this SU, I'm going to be talking about some Diablo stuff. I generally try to like to do some updates and stuff when the new seasons start and tell people what the changes are, in case Diablo is a game that you enjoy playing. It is a game that I've loved playing ever since it originally came out. Back, geez, I don't even know when Diablo 1 came out. But I played all through Diablo 1. I played Diablo 2 fucking religiously. And then I was so excited when Diablo 3 came out, and now we're even getting a Diablo 4. Which, if you haven't seen the trailers for Diablo 4, go watch it. It's spicy. I love it. But this newest season, we're on season 27 of Diablo, for Diablo 3. And they've moved past the Echoing Nightmare that was season 26. So, first off, that was horrendous, okay? Because they didn't change anything for hardcore players. And the Echoing Nightmare, it was so hard, and you essentially, the only way you could get out of it was if you lasted enough waves to become overrun, if you didn't die in the process, or you had to die to leave, which, as I only play hardcore, if you die, that's it, you're donezo. This season they introduced something called Sanctified Items using the Sanctified Crucible, or Angelic Crucibles. So these are consumable items like the Ramaladni's Gifts. They have an increased drop rate above what those would be, because in the PTR people were complaining they didn't drop, you know, enough. Now, there are several different things you can do with the Angelic Crucibles when you sanctify an item. You can only have one sanctified item equipped at a time. And each class has three unique abilities when you sanctify it, when you sanctify an item. And you can choose to put it on anything you want. But when you essentially, when you do, it increases that item to its max stats. So you're essentially getting like a Primal Ancient almost version of the item that you're choosing to put it on. A few things that you can do that people might not know about, because we're going to get into the powers in a minute, is if you end up having an abundance of these things, you can sanctify an item, and then you can salvage the item. Now, salvaging a sanctified item gives you a random assortment of things. Either you can get 15 Forgotten Souls, which is a lot. You can get 2 to 3 Greater Rift Keystones. You could get up to 128 Blood Shards. Anywhere from 35 to 45 Death's Breaths. or one West March holy water, which if you get that after, you know, destroying and salvaging and a sanctified item, I'm sorry, you get the shit end of the stick on that one. Honestly, if I was going to salvage a sanctified item, I'd be hoping to try to get the Death's Breaths or even the Greater Rift Keystones. Even those are kind of easy to get. The other thing you can do with them is you can sanctify a puzzle ring. Now, when you sanctify a puzzle ring, there are two items in the game that you can go over to Kanai's Cube and you can just transmute just the item alone. And it does something special. There's the Bovine Bardish, where when you put that in the cube and you transmute it, it opens up a portal to the Secret Cow level. And then Puzzle Rings open up a portal to the Vault, which is usually filled with some treasure goblins, lots of piles of gold, a few enemies along the way, and then there's Greed, who's the boss at the end of it. Now, sanctifying a puzzle ring and then transmuting it in the cube opens up an ancient vault. So it increases the difficulty, it removes all of the mobs that could potentially damage you, that would attack you in the vault, and changes them into other treasure goblins. So you just have a bunch of treasure goblins to kill, and then you fight Greed, who's fucking more powerful than normal. I mean, I play a Whirlwind Barbarian, which is one of my favorite builds, and I almost died to her twice in one fight. Granted, it was the highest Torment difficulty, but excuse me, I have the hiccups now. Now, we're going to go over the powers that these sanctified items give each class. Like I said, each class has three different powers that you can get. Some builds for the season obviously are going to benefit more than others from these powers. Sadly, some of these powers are just like pretty lackluster for the class as a whole. So if you want, you can go to, Icy Veins is a good website, or maxroll.gg is another good one, and you can check out tier lists for season 27. I wonder if I actually have a tab open for that. I do. Off the top of my head, just looking at this, the Talrasha's Meteor set, which I know is one that I think Donnie's playing, is one of the S-tier solo builds for this season. It's also what you get with your Hadrix gifts. And then I'm playing a Whirlwind Barbarian, which is technically an A tier. And I know our buddy Ryan is playing, I believe, what is he playing? He's bouncing between the Shadow Impale build, which is an A tier, and the the UE multi-shot. I don't remember what set that is. I don't remember the name of that set. Crap. Anyway, the multi-shot build. And you'll see why those are actually pretty powerful based off these powers. So starting with the Barbarian, there's the Sanctified Wrath of the Berserker powers, which makes it so your Wrath of the Berserker applies a debuff to monsters 16 yards around you when you activate it. And the 100% damage debuff is applied is an additive damage buff. I don't understand any of that. Anyway, when you're attacking stuff, the basics is when you're attacking stuff, you're going to gain points, essentially, like charges. It stacks up to 50, and then when you pop Wrath of the Berserker, it's going to debuff everything within 16 yards of you based off of how many charges you have ramped up for that. And you can't stack multiple stacks of the debuff on the same target. So you can't just sit there and, like, on the Rift Guardian, debuff them, get a couple more stacks and debuff them again. So yeah, that was the first power that I ended up getting. It's the least beneficial barbarian one, in my understanding. The Sanctified Whirlwind one is the one that I'm currently running. That makes it where your whirlwind, while you're whirlwinding, you're pulling and holding all enemies within 25 yards. So as you're whirlwinding, enemies are just getting vortexed into you, and then as you're moving, they're being dragged behind you, like in a wake. It Sanctified Whirlwind ignores crowd control resistances. It's a continuous knockback effect. So there are certain builds and certain items that benefit from knocking back enemies. Let's see. It can pull approximately 70 monsters at a time, depending on their hitboxes. And the pull, the drag effect, will stop working. If you level up, it'll stop because of the level up animation. If you drink a potion, it'll stop. If you enter a new map, obviously you're not going to drag enemies onto a new map. And when you proc certain cheat death effects, like your followers all now have an ability that allows you to cheat death one time in, I think, 60 seconds maybe. If that procs, this power seems to, it's a bug, it seems to just fall off. So you have to just restart whirlwinding again. The last one is Sanctified Hammer of the Ancients. I'm working towards building this set. It's a Legacy of Dreams set, so I have to level up the Legacy of Dreams gem. But essentially, what this says is Hammer of the Ancients now casts 4 Hammer of the Ancients all around your character, not just in a line in front of you. And every 10 Hammer of the Ancients casts a Shockwave, which is a 360-degree seismic slam effect that hits pretty much everything on the screen. Now, the Shockwave does 10 times the damage of your Hammer of the Ancients. It procs area damage, so you can start putting a lot of your Paragon points into area damage for this build. It deals physical damage, so if you are wearing a Convention of the Elements, if you can time it properly when it gets around to the physical aspect on your Convention of Elements, because it rotates through all the different damage types, once it hits physical, you'll do whatever the bonus is. It's like 300+ damage, percent damage of that type. It has the same proc coefficient as Hammer of the Ancients. And it can crit, apparently, but the way it will work is it will either crit on everything when the shockwave goes out, or it won't crit on anything. So it's not individual monster-based. It's like one effect that if the effect crits, it's going to crit everything on the screen. That's one of the S-tier builds currently, is the Sanctified Hammer of the Ancients. So I'm looking forward to kind of playing around with that. I know neither one of you really play much Diablo, but by all means, if you have any questions or comments while I'm reading these, feel free.
I'm just enjoying listening right now. I have no context.
I do play Diablo, but I mainly play it with you, and I just haven't really had the time to play it
right
too frequently. But I really was interested when you told me the last season was dog shit.
It was.
So I was just like, all right. I'm just kind of enjoying listening to what you kind of got going on.
All right. Well, moving on to the Crusader. This sadly is one that I feel like none of these powers are beneficial, and there's no real great Crusader builds, in my opinion, that are stretching into high greater rifts. But the Sanctified Falling Sword is probably the best one of these three. So your Falling Sword ability now summons two angels that can melee hit and cast Consecration and Condemn. From my understanding, I haven't played it yet, but from my understanding, these angels are pretty powerful. But they did have to get nerfed from the PTR, because in the PTR they were, I guess, like insanely powerful. Like literally walking around and just wiping the floor with everything. Angels have a 15-second duration. You cannot have more than two angels at any given time. So recasting Fallen Sword will summon two new angels. They randomly cast the Consecration and Condemn spells during their lifespan in between melee attacks. Their damage is scaled off of greater rift tier. They do not scale with your stats at all. And damage debuffs applied to on monsters such as the strong arm bracers, which enemies hit by knockbacks suffer 20 to 30% increased damage for 6 seconds, does apply. That does work. Also, those strong arm bracers would be pretty good for, you know, the whirlwind thing. If you can fit them in somewhere, they don't fit into my build, but the Sanctified Blessed Hammer ability. Blessed Hammer is thrown in a straight path 40 yards in front of your character. It stays on position for 2 seconds before returning to the point where it was thrown from. It deals damage when passing through enemies and periodically ticks in a 15-yard AoE. This means targets with bigger hitboxes can be hit more times. This, in a game like Diablo, I don't really care for powers where it's, okay, I'm going to throw something out in front of me, and then it's going to come back to me, and it only affects things that I hit, or that, like, it passes through. Because you're constantly moving, especially in greater rifts. You're not going to want to be standing still for too long. While you're constantly moving, everything on the screen is also constantly moving. So, yeah, I mean, it might be good for a boss, or if there's a group of enemies, or if you're running and they're chasing you, sure, maybe turn around and, you know, zing the hammer back at them. But I just feel like it's too unreliable of a damage source because it's such a narrow damage. And then finally for the Crusader, Sanctified Fist of the Heavens. Fist of the Heavens is cast on a random nearby enemy every 2 seconds. It can proc area damage and deals the same damage as your own Fist of Heavens ability. After casting Steed Charge, this effect occurs more rapidly for 5 seconds. So, essentially, Fist of the Heavens is you just call down like a pillar of lightning, and it explodes and does lightning damage to pretty much anything within, I think, like 8 or 10 yards or something. So this is just now randomly casting that ability every 2 seconds. And then if you cast your Steed Charge, which just allows you to move around faster because Crusaders are slow as balls, then it'll happen more frequently. I can see this power being kind of useful. I had a build with my Crusader. I think it was a belt, where the belt allowed you to just passively cast bombardment around you. So just every, you know, 10 seconds or so, just these meteors would just fall from the sky and hit stuff around you just passively. So I kind of like the idea of this power with that belt casting two just passive damage things on things like every 2 to 10 seconds. It's very minimalist. I like passive abilities. I don't like having to fucking hit four buttons every 12 seconds.
I'm with you. I'm with you. That's why I can never get in a WoW.
Yeah. The Demon Hunter. Sanctified Vengeance. Vengeance now launches rockets. The number of rockets increases over 30 seconds. Every rocket launched will damage enemies for a percentage of their maximum life. Elites and Rift Guardians take less damage per rocket. This power is extremely weak and barely noticeable, even on single targets. Yeah, the rockets are kind of akin to, like, the Demon Hunter has some passive abilities where, like, as you're firing, it might shoot out a homing rocket periodically. It does minimal damage. Sanctified Cluster Arrow. Your Cluster Arrow now casts a piercing ray of light instead of several projectiles or grenades. The rays combined and accumulated combine the accumulated weapon damage values of all hits, impact, rockets, and grenades of a rune into one beam. Buffing Cluster Arrow builds... I don't understand that sentence. Buffing Cluster Arrow builds by several GR tiers. Oh, so it goes... its damage will actually progress the higher you go. I don't really like Cluster Arrow. I might play around with the fact that it's a beam. Or I'll ask Ryan. He's been playing the Demon Hunter. But really, the main power you're going to look for if you're playing a Demon Hunter this season for the Angelic Crucible is the Sanctified Strafe. So your Strafe ability now casts the last non-channeled Hatred Spending ability cast every 12 frames. This is essentially the Gears of the Dreadlands bonus, 4-piece bonus, for Hatred Spenders instead of Generators. So the Gears of the Dreadlands, phenomenal set for the Demon Hunter. Essentially, you put your primary resource, you know, generating ability on there. And then as you're strafing, it periodically just shoots out that ability at something around you. So what this does now is it's going to do the same thing, but with your Hatred Spenders. So like your things like your multi-shot. If you go into a Greater Rift, you cast multi-shot once, start strafing, and now every couple seconds or every second, you're literally just spitting out a free multi-shot.
Huh.
So it is a screen clear mechanic for sure. The Monk Sanctified Powers. Oh, this one's a list. Jeez. This is another build. I'm not familiar with the Monk sets this season. I'm not playing one. But Sanctified Wave of Light. I'm a little familiar with this because I had to do a challenge rift with this one. Wave of Light now casts bells, just giant bells, that deal damage when any player attacks them. Up to 5 bells can be active at a time. So if you remember Wave of Light, normally you would just there would just be like this translucent giant bell that would just come crashing down on an enemy, and then it would disappear. And it would do some sort of like AoE damage and stuff as well. These are now permanent affixes. You just place a bell down somewhere, and you, or if I was a whirlwind barbarian, whirlwinding through it, that would trigger it. Anybody attacking these bells causes the bells to explode in an area, dealing insane damage to everything in the vicinity. This is a powerful ability, but again, I'm not playing a monk, so I haven't really gotten to see it too much in actual play.
Right.
Bells have collision boxes with players and enemies. Bells can deal damage 4 times before they disappear. When you place a 6th bell, the oldest one disappears. Bells after 10 seconds or if you move 50 yards away, will disappear. Cyclone Strike detonates bells when attempting to pull them, even if it deals no damage. So if you place a bunch around you, then you Cyclone Strike, it's going to detonate all those bells. Skills without proc coefficient, so things like Sweeping Wind, can damage bells, but do not trigger them. Oh, maybe my Whirlwind wouldn't work then. Exploding Palm does not trigger the bells. Rabid Strike works with this power. Rabid Strike is a fist weapon for monks. Spirit spenders that teleport you while Epiphany is active are also mimicked on nearby targets. So if you're going to, you drop a bunch of bells, you pop Epiphany, and then you spend your, you cast your spirit spenders to attack one of the bells, and it's going to affect multiple bells at one time. Pillar of the Ancients only deals base damage when detonated, but the dot effect ticks from the bell continuously. Shattering Light produces the cold wave in the direction of the attack, triggering the bell. Both the bell explosion and the wave can damage the same enemy. And finally, Explosive Light procs Fire Sparks. What the hell is Explosive Light? Release bursts of energy that deal 830 weapon damage as fire to nearby enemies. Oh, it's a wave of light rune. Procs Fire Sparks in all directions when triggered. Both the bell explosion and the fire sparks can damage the same enemy. So this build has a lot of different ways where you can stack damage on targets that are harder to kill. That's probably the best sanctified power for monks this season. The second one is Sanctified Way of the Hundred Fists. Way of the Hundred Fists always uses the second combo punch. It procs the third combo punch effect despite only casting the second one. It continuously procs the hidden second combo punch effect that dazzles enemies that it hits, which will interrupt their attacks. And consecutive hits from Way of 100 Fists increases its damage by 2%, max 350 stacks for a total of 700% separate damage multiplier. That doesn't sound terrible. And then lastly, there's Sanctified Seven-Sided Strike. Your seven-sided strike barrages an enemy with spiritual punches for 15 seconds. This effect starts right on activation and targets the enemy you initially cast seven-sided strike on. Spiritual punches happen every 12 frames or 5 times per second. Spiritual punches procs the Uliana stratagem 6-piece bonus, which increases the damage of your exploding palm by 9,000%, and your seven-sided strike detonates your exploding palm. Lion's Claw doubles the damage of your spiritual punches, hits in combination with the 4-piece bonus of the Ulianas. So this is definitely an Ulianas set. Spiritual punches stop when you move too far from the target, approximately one screen away. Spiritual punches procs area damage and Bane of the Stricken, but not life per hit. And lastly, spiritual punches continuously refresh Bindings of the Lost buff, but do not go over the normal 7 stack cap. Necromancers. So I did a lot of bouncing back and forth before season 27 started, trying to decide what I wanted to play. And Necromancers, based off of just purely reading the sanctified item powers, Necromancer looked real promising. But then every single guide that I read specified, because a lot of the guides that you read out there, they're built for, softcore play. Where if you die, it doesn't matter. You just either run back to your body, respawn, whatever. You'll lose some gold. That's about it. But every guide that I read that mentioned, if you're going to play hardcore, don't play the Necromancer this season because they're super squishy apparently, and people are having a hard time, and they're not built for hardcore play. I made a Necromancer. I have started gearing them up as my alternate character.
About other areas, so you made a Necromancer and immediately died.
No, I have not died yet. And I have been trying to utilize this power and see how far I can get and how much I can push comfortably before I die with my Necromancer. Just to show that I could, you know. Because if you play Diablo 3, there's normal and then there's hardcore. And they're two completely different play styles. Like, can you play hardcore the same way that you would, you know, softcore?
Yeah, sure. Like on softcore, for instance, like your friends that are running you, they might like kite mortar into your face.
Listen, that happened.
In hardcore, you would think that would happen.
And it wasn't, I didn't even kite them. They were just at the door. Anyway, you have to have a different mentality when you play hardcore. And you have to know that you're going to build your character a little different. You know, you want to build more defensively. You want to make sure you have the toughness to survive. That being said, if you really want to start pushing greater rifts, you can't sacrifice too much damage for too much toughness either. Otherwise, you're not going to kill things fast enough to run the greater rift. So you really have to find that balance, that sweet spot where you're able to push through the greater rift challenges while not taking so much damage that you're just going to get one shot by stuff, but that you're doing enough damage where you can actually clear the rift. I love my Crusader on, you know, non-seasonal hardcore. He gets up into like 14 billion toughness. Like, it's some just ridiculous amount of toughness. And it's a Thorns build. I could literally just walk through an area, but I just don't have the damage output to push those greater rifts like I do with my Whirlwind Barb.
And you would think that, like, oh, just like build, like, obviously you're like more of a tank, build like coming with like a more DPS, but then the enemy scale and it makes it harder. The DPS is then putting in infinite more work.
Yeah.
And you're not really able to really do anything.
Yep.
To back them up outside of just like either draw aggro or whatever. But yeah, if I'm not mistaken, Diablo aggro is done off DPS. So the more DPS you do, the more aggro you pull, unless you have a specific like ability that
kites the enemy towards you. That's what's real nice about this. And yesterday, me and Ryan played some duos, and we made it onto the leaderboards for the Americas. The two-player leaderboards. Nice. I think we ended up making it into somewhere in the low 800s out of the top 1,000 people that they show on the leaderboards. But what's cool about that is he's playing the Demon Hunter, so he's purely a DPS. Both of his builds, both the multi-shot and then the shadow, the impale one. He gets to my Whirlwind, literally pulls everything on the screen into me and then drags them around with me. So then everything's clumped up and he can just fire into the crowd that is being dragged around by me. So it keeps him safe and it kills, and he kills things that I'm essentially tanking at that point. Because, I mean, I my Barbarian is a little... I'm not there yet with gear, and he is a little lackluster on the damage department. But that's neither here nor there. We're going to get into the reason why I wanted to play Necromancer, and I talked myself out of it because I was trying to play it safe. But we're going to start with the two shitty powers, I guess. Sanctified Golem. This one actually doesn't sound terrible. And I know, Devin, you played with Necromancers a little bit.
Yeah, I did.
Your Command Golem now picks up and stores corpses within 20 yards.
That's not bad.
It can store up to 30 corpses, and each corpse stored allows you to cast your things like Corpse Explosion, Corpse Lance, Revive, yeah. as if you were consuming the maximum number of corpses the skill can consume per cast.
Oh, wow. That's actually not bad. That right. didn't sound bad on paper. I mean, that you know what that sounded like? Would be
that sounded great, like that sounded like when you couldn't open doors.
Yes, that was my no bodies. My necromancer was the greatest necromancer of all time. He could like one shot like everything, but
couldn't open a door.
Common wooden door could not fight common wooden door because there was no bodies. It was pretty shitty. I had to like spend half my life just to macrolem myself to like to teleport and leave a body behind.
Yeah.
So then use the body I left behind to blow a door open. It was dumb.
So the second power is Sanctified Death Nova. Your Death Nova now spawns Bone Spirit every 5 hits that you do to an enemy. The Bone Spirit damage is the same as the Death Nova that procs the release. The overall impact of this power is minuscule because the spirits only deal single target damage. That's by far the worst power. And then this is the one that really drew me because on paper it sounds real nice. And I'm not going to lie. I mean, I've toyed around with it on low torment difficulties and it works. Enemies within its Sanctified Army of the Dead. So enemies within 50 yards or one screen are constantly assaulted by Army of the Dead, the unconventional warfare version specifically.
Huh. Hmm.
This rune's effect is mostly noticeable during boss fights and wall speed farming, where it can finish small enemies on the side. The overall boost to single target damage for Bones of Wrathma Necromancers is roughly 30 to 40% with this power. So you don't have to proc Army of the Dead, even though if you're using Bones of Wrathma, your Army of the Dead is constantly, the refresh rate on that is constantly ticking because your minions are doing damage, so it's cool. It's reducing the cooldown of your Army of the Dead, but it passively just constantly sends skeletons out using the unconventional warfare rune, and just attacks things that are on the screen, just anything that's there within 50 yards. Just constant bombardment of Army of the Dead just everywhere. It's fun. It looks real fun, but I'm scared to, you know, really ramp it up until I get better gear. But that one rune, that one power is really what almost made me play a Necromancer this season.
That's what's up.
The last two that we got Witch Doctor and Wizard left. We'll do Witch Doctor first. Sanctified Haunt. So your Locust Swarm now automatically haunts all monsters that are affected. Casting Piranhas pulls all monsters within 60 yards into the pool. If you have the Bogadile, which is, I believe, is a rune for the Piranhas, a giant Bogadile emerges from the pool of water, stuns, and bites a monster, dealing 1,100% weapon damage as physical. So if you have Bogadile, a lesser enemy is stunned and instantly killed. Elites and Rift Guardians are not killed, but take significant damage. The big thing here is just anything that you Locust Swarm is automatically getting haunted. That's huge in itself.
That is actually really, really stupid huge.
Sanctified Horrify. Horrify is now a permanent aura that causes enemies to take 100% more damage, additive damage debuff, and they deal 15% less damage. The other effects from Horrify runes become permanent as well. So any of the effects that if you change the runes around and it changes the effects of the Horrify spell, those also become permanent. And then Sanctified Gargantuan. You summon a Gargantuan and a summon zombie dogs every second. Up to 2 Gargantuans and 3 zombie dogs. Summon zombie dogs gains the effect of all of its runes. Enemies hit by sacrifice are immolated, taking 100% more damage from your pets. And this power enables sacrifice... Provoke the Pack, which gains 20% increased damage done for 5 seconds after using Sacrifice. So this enables those playstyles without the need to summon your own zombie dogs constantly, because you're passively just every 2 seconds summoning zombie dogs or a gargantuan. So you can just constantly keep sacrificing them, immolating things, and then you're just regaining them right back every 2 seconds. And then lastly, the wizard. They had to nerf the magic missile build, sadly. Aww. Yep. It was pretty insane in the PTR from what I saw, but the current magic missile sanctified power is magic missiles now has 10 projectiles by default, and it gains the Seeker rune, which they'll track to the nearest enemy, and it increases their damage to 285% weapon damage as arcane. So you get 10 homing projectiles per cast of magic missiles. Now, mind you, magic missile usually only casts one, unless you have, I think there's one rune in there that splits it maybe to three. In the PTR, the reason they had to nerf it is they had it originally where every cast of magic missile, you were shooting out 20 projectiles. And the whole screen was just magic missiles all the time, homing everything in and just killing everything. The damage type.
I see nothing wrong with
it. Well, yeah. The damage type of magic missiles is the one from the rune that you choose. So. Sanctified Arcane Orb. Arcane Orb now periodically spawns an orbiting charge, about 1 per second, up to 4 orbiting charges. Arcane Orbit orbs now all explode in a chain reaction when detonated. Casting Arcane Orb releases all orbiting charges at once and generates 1 additional orb per charge. And then orbiting charges are considered part of the cast that last released them. As a result of Arcane Dynamo buffs all orbs released by a single cast. I don't really know much about that power, because no one uses it. The one that I know, I think Donnie uses, is the Sanctified Storm Armor. Your Storm Armor, which normally you bathe yourself in electricity, periodically shocking a nearby enemy for 175% weapon damage as lightning, and that's a 10-minute buff. Your Storm Armor charges over 30 seconds. If you recast it when it's fully charged, you release a powerful thunderbolt that instantly kills a nearby monster. Elites and Rift Guardians are not killed, but take significant damage, roughly 10 to 15% of their total health. That is a significant amount of damage. And I mean, the only problem I have with this one is, again, I haven't played it, and I'll have to talk to Donnie to see how he feels about it, but if you're having to let this charge for 30 seconds to then recast it to kill one minion on the screen, essentially, or to do 10 to 15% of their health damage to an elite pack or a boss. But then you have to wait 30 more seconds before you can do it again. And I mean, in 30 seconds, either everything should be dead already, or you are probably going to be close to being dead. So I don't know. I don't know how beneficial that is. I guess, right. I mean, you still have Storm Armor up, so it's still periodically shocking nearby things. And, I guess I could see this working pretty well with a lightning build to buff lightning damage. I don't know. But yeah, those are all the sanctified powers for this season. I will say it seems like the top three, at least for hardcore, are going to be, honestly, your Wave of Light monks are going to be up there. The Hammer of the Ancients, I'm waiting to play around with that and see if that's better than the Whirlwind Power. And your Demon Hunter and your Wizards are going to be up there. Sadly, I mean, I think they need to do something to rework Crusaders, honestly.
Honestly, I, out of all the classes in almost every season I've played, I feel like the Crusader is the one I get the least amount of enjoyment.
Yeah, and I mean, part of that too is they only have one ability that increases their speed, and that's their summons charger steed thing. And I mean, that's on a cooldown. And I mean, other than that, they're really slow. Yeah. They're a really slow class.
Yeah, I don't enjoy playing them particularly. Like, I'm not like a particular. I have particular enjoyment playing them.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I got for season 27. I mean, I do encourage people out there to play Diablo. It's a great game. If you have any questions, hit me up as far as Diablo questions. I will do my best to answer them. I am by no means an expert. Even though Donnie tells me I should make like YouTube videos regarding them, you know, and just like different builds and stuff like that. But I don't know. I think he's just trying to blow up my ego.
I watch.
So, but that's all I got as far as Diablo stuff. And we're about, how far are we now? 46 minutes in.
I thought that only take 10 minutes.
Yeah, I know. I didn't realize there's so much reading.
There's a lot of reading, and then you're also really passionate about that, so it rolls right in there.
I guess. I mean, if either of you have anything else that you'd like to talk about, we can. If not, I mean, 46 minutes, that's, I mean, we did a 2-hour episode last week, so.
I was not here for a 2-hour episode.
Yeah, so, I'm more than okay with cutting this one, 15 minutes short, 14 minutes short.
If we do 15 minutes short, we do it now, I can go upstairs and cook my dinner before we probably have a game.
That sounds like a plan.
Right.
So before we sign off, do you have life advice, Devin?
Do I have life advice? I kind of do have life advice.
I have a science thingy because of Apple. You do
your science corner and then my life advice.
Man, NASA recorded some like black hole noise and it's fucking creepy as hell.
That would have been my science corner too. It's all good.
Yeah.
I would have been like, yeah.
So
space inherently is a vacuum, but there was enough gas by this black hole and by some other entities as well that sound was able to travel, so they were able to like catch the waves more than anything. They didn't necessarily hear it, but they were able to translate those waves into creepy fucking sounds.
So all I heard you say right there was they just took the time to put sound to a black hole fart.
Yeah. Yep.
Wait, yes.
But it might be Cthulhu. Who knows?
It might be, but I mean, no, I wouldn't
be Cthulhu. Gods,
we saw that there was pictures of something.
It would probably be Cthulhu's dad.
Cthulhu's dad? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I mean,
who's
father.
Cthulhu's dad?
Who's Cthulhu's dad? No, it's
Dad Cthulhu?
That's his grandfather. Yogg-Sothoth is his grandfather. Azathoth is his great grandfather. It's probably Yogg-Sothoth. Is either Yogg-Sothoth or is Azathoth?
I don't know. I like Dead Thulu.
Dead Thulu?
Yeah.
I feel like that has other implications that just gotta make people want to call Cthulhu daddy, and I don't wanna get down that road.
Papa.
I'm sure people already do. You don't gotta
But like I don't wanna fuel that fire. You know what I mean? I don't wanna add to that. Yeah, this is good old Yogg-Sothoth here. Here you drop a little Imagio here.
If any of you want to send your erotic Cthulhu, Dad Thulu fanfics to Devin, feel free.
I mean, you can.
Oh God, what is that thing?
That's
Dad Thulu.
It's not. I think that's Granddad Thulu.
Oh God.
It
doesn't even. Oh, God. I don't even know. It has so many eyes. Not enough mouths.
Let me see. His son, he has a couple of different sons. Cthulhu is his grandson. There you go. His son, one of his sons is Wilbur Whatley. And his other son is the Dunwich Abomination. I love fucking just mythos. It's great.
Like those words mean nothing to me. So.
Nug. Cthulhu's parent is Nug. It's just Nug. Nug and Yub.
We love that, honestly.
Nug and Yub.
Nug the and twin Yub. Blast.
One of these is Cthulhu's father. Nug and Yub.
Oh, Jesus. Why, honestly, this is going to sound weird, but why is Cthulhu the most normal looking out of all of them?
Oh, he's not. The most normal looking one out of all of them is Nyarlathotep.
Wait, is that the...
Probably.
Is that the yellow guy?
No, that's Haster.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to talk about them because that guy might show up in a D&D game.
Yeah, Nyarlathotep is... He has many faces. He kind of reminds me of...
Oh, yeah, I remember me and you talking about that guy.
He kind of reminds me of the creature from Stranger Things in some of his, like, appearances. Like, this is, like, one of his appearances. There's, like, another one. And this is, like, another version of him.
That's not normal. Cthulhu has a mouth, a face, well, dude, that's eyes. Like a normal,
that's another one of him.
He's got this guy's got like three hands, some tentacles, a weird like tentacle tuxedo flap thing in the front. You know, visual aids on an audio podcast. There wouldn't be SU if we didn't do it.
No, it wouldn't be. it's, you know, important. I mean, Hoster and then Chithuga. Chithuga is an ugly motherfucker.
So is Devin's life advice, don't piss off Dad Thulu?
I mean, that might be the life advice of the day. Or just don't get Devin started on the Cthulhu mythos, because it's a rabbit hole.
Oh, if only we could bring back Delta Green.
If only we could. We actually probably can. But that's a separate issue for another day. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had life advice, and then I think I closed the page out to look up Cthulhu
stuff. It's fine. Don't piss off Dad Thulu, that's all.
Yeah.
Some life advice, honestly.
Yeah.
Don't piss off Dad Thulu.
If you're gonna, don't piss off Elder any, Gods. Like, Eldritch.
Yeah.
Horrors, like.
Well, with that being said, Devin, where can people follow you on the internet?
You guys can find me on the Twitters at DMP. _Pookie. Find me on Twitch at MrD3, and as always, you can find me on eBay looking for life advice.
All
horrible
right.
Books. And you'll find me about 5 minutes upstairs cooking a hamburger.
All right. Apple, where can people find stuff that you do?
I have a YouTube channel called Apple Schloss, and I have a Twitter that's Apple Schloss 21.
All right. And as always, everybody, thank you for listening. We love you. We hope you're doing well. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Jax Forestwalker, all one word, on Twitch at DM Webby, and on eBay at Pissing Off Elder Gods with Devin.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Thank you, everybody. Okay. And until next week, fuck Booster Gold.
Fuck Booster Gold. And remember, everybody, dreams don't work unless you do.
Well,
there you go.
Those are words.
Don't settle for being an option, become a priority.
That's good words.
Shoot for the moon, because even if you miss, you'll land in the stars or something.
Yeah, amongst
that
the stars.
Is saying, actually.
That is saying.